Well, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles back up to Galatians this evening, and thanks be to God, we're in this precious fourth chapter, just continuing to rejoice that we are justified by faith, and how sweet the simplicity of it all, and how glorious it just continues to build, the reality of it, the sweetness, the peace, the rest, that thanks be to God, it is finished. That, praise the Lord, we worship a risen Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that we are your workmanship. I mean, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I abound in hope for all of us. Hallelujah, because of Him. And that's what it is. So we just give Him all the praise and glory. Well, let's go ahead and pick it up in the fourth chapter, and we'll read verses 19 through 21 to begin. My little children, this is Paul speaking to them. I pray, God help us to grow up. But this is infant. This is, I'll tell you, they're acting like little spoiled children. Of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Brothers and sisters, you're saved by grace. Praise the Lord. And thanks be to God that we know that we grow by grace. And that was preached to these beloved brethren. That was given to them. It was poured out. Paul visited with them, preached to them, and thanked the Lord that so much was received. But yet, here he is again, right at the beginning with them. I travail in birth again, because Christ is not formed in you. He preached to them. He taught them the beauty of grace. Yet, they were so soon removed, because they were never established. And there's something to that that we really need to take note of. They never really believed it was the grace of God. They never really believed and saw the magnificent power of the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, we can know things, but do we live things? Do we live them? See, there's a difference there. And the testimony is evident. And the testimony was very evident in these brethren. Paul saw it immediately. You've left the grace of God. You've fallen from grace. You've returned to the rudiment elements. I've got to travail in birth again. You should be feasting on meat. And here we are going back to milk as babes. Same thing we heard over there in Hebrews as well too. But brothers and sisters, it's because they never allowed and never had Christ really formed in them. Now we understand, praise the Lord, they're still children of the King. Hallelujah. That life is that life. They're born again. Just as if the Lord has explained to us so sweetly, even in humanity, I can't be any more human than the moment that I was born human. Praise God, I'm a human being. I can't grow any more human. But my parents were sure hopeful I'd grow up. You know, there's some people around me that are still hopeful I'll grow up. But never mind. I'm just teasing. But that's the emphasis, and that's what it is to grow into that maturity and to see all the potential, everything that's there. You love in the natural to see kids grow up, and how sweet, you know, we have a new little one in the family, Marcus, and I'll tell you, they'd think that that's the first child that ever walked and the first child that ever talked, but that's the way it should be. It is. It's precious, isn't it? But everything is in that child and grandchildren and things of that nature. It is wonderful. And praise the Lord, that's just how we are with the natural family. How much do you think our Abba Father rejoices in our steps, in our growth, in our speaking, and as we were reading, ministering even to Him, growing up like that. Hallelujah. The boldness that we receive is the sons of God, that we grow up into Him, His life in all things. Hallelujah. That's the beauty of what is being offered to us. But see, he was not formed in them. And what that means is he was not shapen. He was not manifest. And that is just what happens when we refuse the grace of God and go after flesh. Whether it's self-righteousness, as the emphasis is here, but it even includes whether we'd go after worldly lusts or if we want to be turned over to a bitter heart. The result is still the same. It's infant living. Amen? Amen it is. Brothers and sisters, we're without excuse. And again, going back to the testimony, the evidence is that we change from glory to glory. Into what? Into his image. Praise the Lord. We become like him. And so much so that I pray someday when we see him, we will be like him. Like him in fullness. Like him in maturity. Like him as a readied wife. An equal, praise the Lord, that is ready to jointly rule and to reign with him. Amen? Praise God, brothers and sisters. This is what is in the offering to us right now, and it's so wonderful. But see, when we choose to refuse the grace of God in our lives, we operate as infants. A lot of times, it comes forth as acting up and acting out, just like a child does. Amen? People don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. Mature ones will be still and know that he is God. They'll wait on him. They don't need to be heard. They don't need to act out. They don't need to act up. They need to be still and to know that he is God. That's the maturity, brothers and sisters, to receive the correction and the chastening as sons. Amen? That's if you'll receive it, if you'll endure it, he'll deal with you as sons, as mature sons. Amen? And he'll bring you into things, and he'll try you, praise the Lord, with trials that will press you out of measure. Amen? Amen. I'm telling your story, aren't I? Praise the Lord. It's the word of God. You're his. You're his vessels. And this is how he does it. He heard you say, I will go, and he's come for your words. It's all he wanted to hear, that cry of the heart. Oh, I'll go. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this is the exciting time. See, these are not things that catch us unawares. We understand the word of God. These things must come to pass. Now, he says here, tell me. There in that 21st verse. He says, don't you get it? Don't you hear what the law says? Sin and death. You can't do it. Neither could your fathers do it. That was Acts 15:10. It's weak, and your Savior died to put it out of the way. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. See, we understand very clearly it was the blood of Jesus that gave us the power for sinless perfection. And it's the same blood of Jesus that gives us the power to grow into spiritual perfection. A lot of people hear that word and they say, spiritual perfection, you better be careful what you say. No, I'm reading the word of God, and that's the desire of my Father, that we would grow up into that perfect man in likeness, in measure and stature, in the fullness of him. And that is what God has given us in power in his Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, taking the things of Christ and making them ours. But brothers and sisters, if I'm not going to apprehend that truth, if I'm going to be sheepish about it and think somehow, some way that maybe I see that, but there's something I can add to this work, I've just taken steps back. I've just fallen from grace, because it must be a work purely of grace to grow. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who just happens to be full of truth and grace. And grace and truth. And hallelujah, that's exactly who and what he is. He's grace. That's how we grow. And he's telling us that. And that truly is the precious double portion that we have even in that scripture. It's all over the word of God. But Paul's heart is so beautiful here, because he is expressing to them this beautiful work of grace. See, he didn't just go around birthing children and having them to just grow up on their own, to leave them and say, okay, that's fine, now you just got to go figure it out. See, Paul didn't come to baptize. He came to preach the gospel of Christ. A lot of people don't get that. And this is exactly what this is getting at here. His intense desire was to see these ones grow and grow up into the fullness of Him, grow up into their full potential, into that full maturity, brothers and sisters. And I really believe that's a type of what's so dysfunctional in our society today. Parents today don't want to raise children. They don't. They want to give birth, but they don't want to put in the hard work. And the hard work is raising children. Ladies, I'm not making light of childbirth. I know that's a tough one. But I'm talking about the long haul. I'm talking about raising and rearing and training up a child. Few parents want to do that. And that's the result in what we have. Because we haven't trained up our children. We talked a lot about that Sunday, about standing in the day of battle. And we're in a day of battle every day. Because if we don't face the battle now, we're going to have a war that we can't even get up for. It's already won. It's done. But brothers and sisters, these precious battles that are before us, help us to stand and withstand. And having done all to stand, and as this is giving us such a precious type here tonight, that we stand in the gospel of Christ, and that we're not moved, and that there wouldn't be compromise, and that we're not trying to tickle itching ears. We preach the word of His grace. I want to preach something that will build you up for the eternities to come. I don't want to give you something that will rob you, that might make you feel good for a moment and say, well, see, that pastor agreed with me. I think I'll go back. I felt really good about what he said about me. But it just didn't happen to be scriptural. A lot of times, if you hear something that might have offended you, every week, don't you know that I go through the list and I try to figure out, well, what's going on with them, and then I preach about you. Did not you know that? This last Sunday, there was at least, I think it was all the congregation. Had notes on every single one of you. Don't let the enemy do that. That's God. I can assure you before our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is His word. This is His message. I come here by grace, and I'm telling you, I ask the Lord fully, Lord, empty me out. Your mind reign. Your spirit have complete control. That's why we're here. I don't have a point or an agenda. If I did, I'd rob you. I want to preach the gospel of Christ. Want the Spirit to anoint this, hallelujah, and He does. And if we'll sit and listen and adhere to these things and praise the Lord, giving more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, God help us. We need to even humble ourselves more, don't we? Hallelujah. We'll get somewhere because of His grace. But yes, brothers and sisters, it is so precious. But grace happens to be the most difficult food for us to eat. And why is it difficult for us to eat? Because it's against our nature. It is. We've got to feel something. You think about how we were born. We're one big sensory organism. Five senses, that's how we operate. Can I smell it? Can I see it? Can I taste it? Can I feel it? Can I hear it? All of those things, and they're working all the time. And yet here we have something that's the forever. And what is it by? Faith. It's by faith. And praise the Lord. And I'm thankful that faith can have beautiful feeling. The Spirit can move in such wonderful spiritual emotions. But God help us to understand. It needs to be in the mind of Christ. And underscore all the time. It's by faith. It's by faith. If it's not according to this word, I'll guarantee you it's by feeling, and it's not by faith. So again, brothers and sisters, this is what is so sweet. I appreciate it and it was funny as I got into the office again tonight, there was some mail they brought me, and there's a brother down in Springs, and poor fella, he's always got a new revival and a new this. But see, that again is the feeling. I was appreciating reading to Brother Copley. He said that we don't need any more revivals like most people are thinking revival. We need a revival of a grow in grace revival. That's the revival we need. We just keep reviving the same thing. We need to grow up. We need to grow up into him in all things. And I thank the Lord that we have a Grow in Grace revival 2 times Sunday, 1 time Wednesday, and even on Friday night. Hallelujah. That's exactly what this is. We have our camp meetings here. I'm thankful that June's coming along. July's coming up and we're going to have our camp meeting. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I think we have a mini camp meeting all the time here. This is our camp. Hallelujah. This is our temporary tent. We don't have no stakes down here. We're just passing through. Hallelujah. And we get in here and we enjoy it. And this is our family. This is our heavenly family. Sons of God. And the oneness that we have because our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. How absolutely lovely. It's just beautiful what God has given us. Okay, let's move on. Verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had 2 sons. The one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he is of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the 2 covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. That's some good stuff. Hallelujah, that's just wonderful stuff. And, you know, you begin with this, and see, it does mention it once, but this is sad. This is no bondwoman. This is a bondmaid. This is a bondmaid. This is like a double negative. This is a double negative bonding in this law-attached life. And Hagar's name, it means stranger. It means one that fears. And that's exactly what the law does in your life if that's controlling your life. You live in fear. And I know a lot of sweet Christians, and I love them so, and they're my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it grieves my heart. It breaks my heart that I know that there's a desire, not me, but Christ in me, and the freedom of Christ in me. Brother, I want that. I wish I had that. You've got it. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You have it by God's grace. Just go over there and flip the light on. Listen to the word of God. Quit listening to the lies that come from pulpits. You are saved by grace. Hallelujah. Over and over we rejoice in this, and it's so wonderful that we know that we're justified by faith. It's not by the works of the law. That law is done. It's been nailed to the cross. It's done away with for us. Hallelujah. He did it. He finished it. And now we live. We're free. And it's so beautiful to be free. Hallelujah. But see, we don't operate as a stranger. But if you're going to do that, you're operating not even as a son. You're not receiving what a son is. Even my own natural father, I didn't fear him in a sense that he was waiting for me to mess up and thump me. And I had a wonderful natural daddy. And I did get thumped once in a while. I needed to. There was chastening. But praise the Lord, I knew it was always going to be with a tender hand. And that was just my natural dad. Because I knew he loved me. And here are these ones, they sit under this. I could lose favor with God. I could lose all of these different things. Listen to the story of the prodigal. The father was just waiting every moment, looking for the son to come back. He wasn't sitting in his house and said, oh, that no good son. Ugh. He had a feast ready all the time. It was always ready for him. He had the coat in his hand. He had the ring. He had the kiss. I'm waiting for my son to come home. See, that's the beauty of our relationship. This is, we are now the sons of God. And it's so wonderful that we are the children of promise. And here we sit. And that enemy, see, he's allowed to chirp at us in different things. But see, we know the shepherd's voice. And here's the shepherd's voice. And we listen to the shepherd's voice because of the grace of God. I know that little chirping and things that try to stir me up or get me to move a little bit over here. Or, oh, see, you did that. Maybe you need to get better with God. And immediately it's, no, that's my Father. And in Jesus' name, I'm already in the throne room. And that fellowship is restored. Amen? Amen. Come boldly to the throne of grace. See, we always like to say, well, I got to get this right and I got to get this out of my life and all this. Just get the Lord in your life. By God's grace, just get into that throne room. Open up by God's grace. Let him pour in that wine. It's amazing how that other stuff will flow right out. It's beautiful. And then as we rejoiced so many weeks back about the thorns, you'll even glory in those. You realize how precious it is. Lord, I'm thankful that I have that. I'm thankful that you're leaving that there. Because you know what? It's committed to you now. I know this has to be committed to you all the time, and it's wonderful. I don't worry. Oh, was I delivered from that? Oh, yes, I'm delivered. And then, oh, I guess I wasn't. You know what? I'm serious. I just see it as a thorn. I'm thankful to Jesus. I got this thorn. Praise God. It's committed moment by moment by moment. And you know what? His keeping is perfect. It's beautiful. It's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God. Listen to the word of God. It's powerful. I'm telling you, sharper than any two-edged sword. Let it cut it out. Hallelujah. It'll do it. And it's just wonderful as we rest in this. But brothers and sisters, we know that we have a loving Abba Father. And as we go on here, this word, this name Sarah, see, her name is Princess. And praise God, she gives birth to the sons, and it's grace there. Hallelujah. And so clearly here it is. See, the bondwoman's offspring are always flesh, whereas the princesses, they're always the free woman's children, and it's all by promise. And again, we're not just sons. We're sons of God. And we're not just sons. We're royalty. See, that's the beautiful thing. A princess can only have royal children, heirs of God. Amen? Amen. And think of the birth that you have. We read about it in the first verse of chapter 4. You are Lord of all. But you're not going to be anything knowledgeable about it, but as a servant, if you remain a child. And that's where the enemy, once you're saved, that's all he wants to try to do to keep you in. Keep you acting like a child. Keep you just looking around here and looking at everybody else and see how legal I could get, or how carnal I can get over here, or how worldly I can get over here, or how you can rub me wrong, and how bitter I can become. You know why? Because I kept looking over here. He said, look up. Man, I don't see anything else anymore. Isn't that amazing how it all went away? In just one glance, praise God, set your affection, set that vision. Praise God. And what that means is you're seated in the heavens with Christ. You're seated there right now. Shouldn't we be living there? Amen. And that is the mind of Christ. Praise his name. It's so wonderful. See, God's promises, they're always on the wing. And I think of this sweet Sarah. You know, she was 100 years old. That womb was dead. But see, God's promises are always alive. Because God's promises are always supernatural. And God's promises, there's never a doubt. Even in a dead womb, yea and amen was coming. See, with God, it's never a question of if. It's only a matter of when. Do you believe it? It's a matter of when. His promises are yea and amen. God cannot lie. It's coming forth. It's coming to pass. I tell many times, and I have said it to him even in the face, the wicked, the sinner that gets so belligerent will come up against, you know, and God will give them opportunity in that. Try to mock or mimic or do all these different things. And I said, you know, it's amazing. God said you do just that. Would you like me to show you in the Word of God exactly how you're acting? He said this. See, this was actually in ages past, but it's okay. See, man wrote it, but we can go back 2,000 years if you'd like. And wait a second, you know, I think that that was actually 6,000 years ago. So would you like me to show you that part? Don't mess with my father. You can't. Your wisdom is foolishness to God. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how well you did on your SAT, your ACT, your IQ test. It does not matter. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. And we have to know that. It's amazing what man can do. You know, I love to fly. I tell you, the technology there, I say it's just pure magic. I'm serious. You hit a button, it shows me where I'm at in the air. I'm spun around, I'm over here, push a button. Oh, there I am. This plane will level out, does all these things. You just kind of sit there. My goodness. But that's foolishness to God. So I was rejoicing with a brother the other day, you know, and I love him, and he gets excited about thinking about being with the Lord and having a body like unto his own glorious body. He says, can you imagine? I said, nope. He said, come on, can you imagine? He said, we could maybe do this and that. And I said, well, think of this. I can imagine that I can think and I could be there, or I could have thought and I could be 4 trillion light years away. But that's something that I could think. So that ain't there. And he just looked at me and shook his head. But it's the truth. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that we can rejoice in Scripture. And I can think about and meditate about the streets of gold and the crystal sea. And praise God, that gathering and the wedding feast. And praise the Lord to think of gathering with these precious brethren in the Word of God. And the precious brethren, you talk about a memorial day. Thinking those that have given us the Word of God through the years. Hallelujah. That have sat in pews and by His grace have shown the faithfulness of God in them. Still vessels. But how tremendous the maturity of the perfecting of the saints. That's what's there. Okay? So that's the rejoicing, brothers and sisters. And it is absolutely wonderful. Now, Agar, Mount Sinai, is death. We read here. Jerusalem above, Mother Grace, hallelujah, free. But you look here, it says that bondage answers to grace. And why again? Because grace was first. Remember, the law was 430 years after Abraham. After grace, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen? There wasn't a lot of work in that. I believe God. Done. That is called grace. He was called out of an idol shop. He wasn't looking for God. And neither were you. Neither were you. Don't think that you were looking for God. God found you. He always knew who you were, but He found you. Grace found you. Know these things. It's never changed. And hallelujah, grace came first. And that's exactly what we have here. Hagar was under Sarah. And if we'll stretch our vision just a little bit further here, if we really see this, everyone who is saved is really a child of promise. There's no difference. There is no difference, brothers and sisters, even those that are entangled with such legality, even from the moment they receive the blood of the Lamb, and yet the next moment they believe, oh, I could lose my salvation at any turn. They're still, praise God, praise the Lord, children of promise. All were born the same way of the Spirit. Ephesians 2:8, let's go read that together. And I love to read this. We can recite this, but let's read the Word of God together. In Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That was for everyone. Remember? By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we can't stop there. We have to read 10. For we are His workmanship. Hallelujah. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What a marvelous work of grace. That's all it is. Praise God. His masterpiece is nothing but grace. His masterpiece will be nothing but grace. And that's why we can be that precious lump of clay. Again, get the visual, get the spiritual, get encouraged. Be still, as they were singing on Sunday. Be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. That is so absolutely, preciously perfect. It's what it is. But this is why this barren womb, it says here, as we just read, has many more children, because all the children came only from grace. All the children, even the ones that are caught up in the legality, they were all born again by grace. Every single one of them coming through that precious Sarah's womb. Legality cannot save you. No one's ever been birthed by the law. It must be by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. That's why we're brethren. That's why, thanks be to God, that it is. It's the precious blood of Jesus. All right, verse 29. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Now see, Isaac's name means laughter. Yep, because Sarah was laughing when she heard she was going to give birth. And praise the Lord that God enjoyed the laughing and was going to show him the true and faithful God. My promises, honey, are yea and amen. And you are going to have that child. And we're going to have a grand old time. And praise God, that precious child came. And so he was named Laughter, Isaac, joy, happiness, gladness. And that's exactly what grace brings. That's grace. That's exactly what it is. It brings joy. There's a laughter in it, brothers and sisters. And I thank God for this assurance, even though times can be very hard. And they are. And I've said it many times. I still, praise God, I have fun with the Lord. I have fun with the Lord. I am grateful to God I have fun with Jesus. I do. Now, a lot of Christians and a lot of precious brethren that I know, they don't understand that. But praise be to God, grace causes sweet laughter. And I have good times with my Lord, my friend, and my lover. One of the things that we do as much as anything in our house is laugh. We're laughing this morning. I'm so thankful that we can laugh and have fun, and it's joyous in there. And that is with my sweet wife, my love. But I laugh, praise God, with my love. And how much more so with my heavenly. And I'm grateful to God that this is what grace brings. But opposed to that is this law. See, Hagar is a slave, and bondage is nothing to laugh about. Because that's all that she can produce is bound offspring. And bound offspring, ones that are legal, they have dreadful lives. They do. Let's just call it what it is. And I tell them, I said, man, I don't want any of that. They start to try to bring that, get that away. That stinks to God. And thanks be to God, it stinks to me. I don't want to get even near that. It's fleshly living. Genesis 16:12, Ishmael, that's this son of the bondwoman. It says he's a wild man. If you really look at that, the translation there is he's a wild ass. It is what it is. Come on. These aren't accidents. This is exactly what it is. Unruly is what this means. His hand, it goes on to say, shall be against every man. In Genesis 25, he died in the presence of his brethren. But it also says here that his legal offspring live on. And what do legal offspring all have in common? They're anti to the grace of God. They're against it. They mock it, brothers and sisters. They criticize grace. You know this. I don't want to get in an argument. It's not worth it. It's just not. Don't enter into that. That's a tool of the enemy. If you want to seek the things in the Word and seek the counsel of God, man, I'll spend all day with you. I love that stuff. But when you want to just be contentious and argue and things that are not edifying, that's spiritual encouragement. Don't waste your time. Don't. Cut it off. And this is exactly what's going on here and what we're going to talk about in a minute. Christ was never formed in them. Christ was never formed in them. And that's exactly what happened. And see, when you go after legality, you're cold. You're self-righteous. You will. And eventually, you'll be so cold, you operate dead. It'll be written on your face. There'll be no warmth. Seldom do they ever use the word love. Most messages, you'll never hear the word grace. My goodness, I love it when people say, is that the only word you know? Well, pretty much. Pretty much. That's okay. I want to preach the glorious grace of God. I'm never tired of it. It's the power of God. It's how you grow. It's everything. So it's all tied back into it. So that's why we rejoice in it. But they won't hug. They're stiff. A brotherly kiss. Oh my goodness, no way. This ain't going to happen. The gracious love of God causes you to love everybody. You can't help it. Like I told you, naturally speaking, I assure you, and you that have grown up with me, definitely, again, I love to blend in with walls. I don't want to be noticed. Amen. And I'll even say, you could see singing happy birthday to me. That's uncomfortable. It's just uncomfortable. I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I love you. But that's my nature. But hallelujah, this is Christ in me. I love you. I'm passionate about you. And I believe by God's grace, I see his passion for me and you. And it's wonderful because it's the love of God. It's nothing that we can explain or try to pump up or anything, but praise the Lord. By his grace, we can know it. And by his grace, it can live and grow in us. But it makes us love everybody. And I tell you, those that want to go that way of the legal and be cold like that, I don't like to be around them. I don't. I don't like to be around dead things. I just don't. It's not fun. I like to have fun. I don't like contentious times, you know. I avoid that stuff. And you want to do that kind of thing? I'm not going to enter into that by God's grace. We got to be on the run, hallelujah, to win him. And, you know, they're interested in looking around and see what can bother them. And I just want to look up and see what wants to embrace me. That's why I'm happy. I am, by God's grace. And the moments I'm not happy is my vision went down here a little bit. It did. I set on the things above, thank you, Jesus. I'm just happy in the Lord. Praise his name. And thank God his joy always sustains us. Now, I choose laughter. Why do we choose laughter? Because we're free. Happy, hallelujah, is joyful. It's content. We're thankful, hallelujah, in grace. And grace caused Isaac to be so thankful, and it did. See, a lot of people that don't understand grace, they say, oh, you're just going to use that as an excuse to go out there and sin. No, that's not what grace is. Grace is power. Grace is love. Grace is a love power. It causes you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It really does. Grace does that. You can't do that. Legality doesn't do that because his will and good pleasure is not legality. His good pleasure is the grace of God. His good pleasure is his son's life in you. And his good pleasure, this grace, this laughter one, he became so obedient, he was obedient even unto death. He really was. Isaac was. He went up there with his dad. I don't think it was a big wrestle match. I believe he was obedient in this because he expected from his father, he knew what God's plan was. And he knew that the Lord had encouraged his dad to put him up on that altar and to that was it. I'm going to sacrifice you to the Lord, son. Now, we're going to trust the Lord. And I'm sure there was some sweet time with him and his son. Amen, amen, amen. And son, I'm going to tell you something. You're the promise. And I'm trusting God fully that if he takes you, he's going to take care of this. You're the son of promise. You're the seed. I don't know how he's going to do it, but we're going to trust God. And that all came from laughter. If it didn't, he'd have been running away from his dad. His dad would be trying to find, where'd you go, Isaac? Come on. I love the word of God. It's so sweet. See, this precious joy and contentment, this grace, will have you suffer for Christ's sake. The freedom of grace to receive faith, to believe the whole counsel of God. That you are born of him, and praise the Lord that you are Lord of all. And because of his great love that's given to you, so undeserved, it's, Lord, I want to live for you. I always appreciate that about my sweet mom. And I say it often. It wasn't an upbringing of son, do this and don't do that, and son, do this and don't do that. The only thing she always said is, son, fall in love with Jesus. Amen. That's all she said. I'm telling you the truth. And you know what? She has a lot of kids that have fallen in love with Jesus. The simplicity of it all. When you fall in love, things just, they do. They strangely just fall away that had you or bound you, whatever it was. The things of earth grow strangely dim. Because he's so glorious. He's so light. He's so joyful. He's so awesome. Lord, I just want to spend more time with you. I know you never leave me nor forsake me, but I just want to look into that wonderful face. Amen. But see, that's why we pray one for another. As Brother Paul said, it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. All right? Amen, amen. What gratitude just because that Abba Father loves us so. And I love being dependent on him, don't you? Don't you love being dependent on God? I mean, really. Come on. You really do. You love being dependent on God. Because that's Christ in you. And even when you want to be dependent on something else, God loves you so dependent on him, he'll help you get dependent on him. Does he do that? Sure he does. He lets you fail. Allows you to do these things, but there's before ordained good works that you should walk therein. It's wonderful how he directs your path. He does. He's got the reins of your heart. Come on. He's got control. I pray, he encourages my heart with his word. You know, he'll perform that good work that he's begun. Thank you, Jesus. You've given us such precious word. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Now, brothers and sisters, that can sound awful cruel. It really can. If you really take that on the face, that's a very difficult thing. And that's what happened in this story. Hagar and Ishmael, they're gone. They were gotten rid of. And I've heard people say, well, and even try to preach sermons on, that might have not been the right thing to do. I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's just so, your mind can get so squirrely once you step out of the Word of God and try to figure out something in your own or preach something that you found a new truth. I better stop right now. But I'm just going to tell you, that it is, it's mind-boggling. It's laughable, but it's cry. Yeah, I tell you, you'll cry. Because you hurt for people, God's precious people. But they have itching ears for all this nonsense. But it can sound cruel and it can be difficult in a way. But the reason it is because it's when flesh grips our feelings. It is. That's why it's difficult. Because we get, no, you know, I don't want to hurt him. You know, and we all get like that. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If we don't look to the Word of God, we're going to get covered up in a lot of feeling. It is absolutely necessary. Flesh has to go. See, there is no good in flesh, no matter how good it looks, no matter the good intent, no matter how admirable it seems or it appears. And there's some people in fleshly works that look really admirable. But you go into Corinthians 13 and you're going to find whether I give my everything to the poor, I give my life, I could speak with the tongue of men and angels. If I don't have love, even if I had faith to move mountains, it doesn't profit me anything. Like we were rejoicing on Sunday night. I want the faith, the love faith to move God. I like when he's moved. When I can, by his grace, minister to him. Woo! That is something. That is a love language, and that's what's so beautiful here, and this is what this grace is. But see, the two cannot be mixed. Grace and flesh cannot dwell together. They cannot. Let's go quickly, and we'll close here. Romans chapter 11. Let's turn over there. And in verse 6, let's just get it. It is so evident. It's so exactly there in our face. And if by grace... If by grace, then it is no more of works. Do you see that? See, grace and works cannot be together. If it's grace, it's not any more works. You're his workmanship. You're the clay and you're sitting there real nice. And he's doing it all. That's a good place to be. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That's as clear as it could be. It cannot be both. It's not a combo. It's not a little bit of that and a little bit of this. It's one thing and one thing only. You grow in grace. Period. Period. That is it. And I believe that that is why we gather. That's why we come to this precious assembly. And the reason it's a precious is because it's the word of his grace. This is what's building up. This is what the stirring is. By his grace, the word of his grace, giving us this sweet inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And that's what this is about. So many of God's precious people try to live the two, but you can't. And the result will be just the same as it was in these brethren. Christ will not be fully formed in you. You didn't grow up. You were like that little sister, the Shulamite's little sister. She didn't have any breasts. She wasn't of age. She wanted to get married in her brain, but she wasn't mature enough to have a husband. How many times, how many examples does he have to give us? Grow up! And praise the Lord, I don't have to strive to do it. There's nothing clothed like the lily. And all its splendor and all its, it just grows. Hallelujah. Everything is there. And praise God. See, no matter what you see in the bridal message, we will never grow up into it if we're still trying to do it on our own. It's got to be grace. The gown is one size. One size. That's it. It will not be altered. And only by feeding on grace can a life grow to enter fully into wearing the garment of the righteousness of saints. So we conclude in verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bond woman. Even though you're acting like it, little children. Here we go. Ye are not children of the bond woman, but of the free. You are justified by faith. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.